listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and happy holidays, everybody. Thank you so much. I guess good afternoon. It depends on where and when you're tuning in from wherever in the world you might be. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Get Yourself the Job on LA Talk Radio. I'm Jennifer Cahill here with my co-host, Brandon Maslin, to talk to you today about the year of the pivot. But before we jump into today's topic, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the people at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including temporary services, executive search functions, and payrolling services. And so, Brandon, I thought I would hand it over to you to start today, my friend, as we talk about the idea of the year of the pivot. And as a quick little side note before I hand it over to Brandon, for any of you out there who might be tuning in live, listening on latalkradio.com, you can also tune in live on LA Talk Radio's Facebook page and ask Brandon and I live questions on this or any of our live shows. Most of the shows that we do are 100% live, and we're happy to answer any questions that you have on the Facebook page on LA Talk Radio. So we look forward to hearing what questions you might have for us.
Perfect. Yeah, I always like to say I prefer a dialogue or a facilitation rather than a just talk at. So that's why I love doing this with you and the engagement we get from sort of our key audience members. Yeah, the year of the pivot. This so speaking of pivot, we were not feeling well today. I think they'll be fine. And it's a reminder that pivot is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And I think it's so important that 2020 has been for so many people and industries and society at large a pivot year. As Sean Layden, one of our first guests we ever had is when we co-hosted, said, everything before 2020 is now sealed in amber. There's no, what people said, going back to normal, getting back to normal. That's done. Normal is done. The workforce is going to be more virtual moving forward. We're going to be more careful. There's things that are just done, including things that came out of Black Lives Matter and things of the sort. There is no going back. There's only moving forward. And I think the sooner we can appreciate that in our lives and in our careers, the happier we'll be. And I think that's scary. I think change is scary for a lot of people. And one of the reasons I'm grateful for today was I've been thinking a lot about how the last guest of the year will be Amy Miller, who's a co-founder and artistic director at Transcendence Theater. And every year we do an artist summit. I always get looped in somehow, even when I was a lawyer, with all the great Broadway actors and movie actors and artists I know. And one of the great gifts is they always are dreaming big. They're always thinking bigger. And I realized that in the midst of the chaos of the end of the year, this is the first year in a decade that I didn't name my year. I didn't put an intention behind it. I just sort of charge into it. And I thought to myself, well, that could explain a lot. I don't think I'm responsible for 2020, but it's
blame
certainly
Brandon Maslin.
Yeah, I know. It's me. No, I'm not that powerful, but I do think that, you know, one thing I do think is if you don't choose your path or a destiny, it will be chosen for you, you know, and you know, the old joke is if you tell the universe your plans, it laughs. So, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you'll get everything you want, but it might mean that you accomplish what you need. And one thing in forgetting to name this year and the hardest year of my life since my mother passed away is this. It has been the year of the pivot for me. And I just love that this episode and having a guest that couldn't make it made me realize that I did have a name of this year. It was chosen for me, not by my choice, obviously. And it reminds me that since the very beginning of COVID breaking, I had the same quote for every corporate training I've done, whether it's for 10 people or 1,000. And it's a Michelle Obama quote that says, whatever you're going through, just know you are not alone. You know, I almost thought about today and I thought, whatever you're going through and whoever you are, you know, there's someone identifies, someone sees you and feels you. And I think we've all been in a universal year of a pivot. I don't think that's unique to me. Next year, we'll talk to Amy. I'll definitely choose my year. I'm not going to risk it again. And yet I'm grateful. I left my job after 6 years. My wife just left her job after, I think, close to 5 to 6 as well. So many things have both been hard and yet better. And as a client said early on, there's no point in surviving 2020 if you're not going to thrive in 2021. And she meant that in career, obviously not in the traditional sense that a lot of people are battling health issues. And it's just been a scary year for a lot of people. And I just wish everyone to that point, health, wellness, and in every sense of that word, both physical, mental, and career. So I'll turn it back over to you. But that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. And I think the theme of the month, setting ourselves up for success in 2021 to thrive.
So powerful and wise, Brandon. I was sitting here just ruminating on what it was you were saying. I think that pivoting is an interesting concept because pivoting in my mind actually suggests the idea that we have choice. When we're pivoting, it's almost like a conscious choice that we're choosing our perspective. There are many things in life where we can resist the direction that something is going. It's funny, earlier today I host something called the Coalition for Global Unity, which is global meditations with world leaders from around the world. And Dr. Jenny Whitelaw and I, who previously worked at NASA, we were talking about a very similar concept about how do we work with the direction that life is having us go. And I think that no matter who you are or what this year has been like for you, and not, let's not just talk about this year, but whatever led up to this year I know has been challenging for many, and some people have experienced great growth and success. And whatever that looks like for you, know that it's okay and to allow yourself to be where you are and to choose where you are. Years and years ago, there was a program I was in called Landmark Worldwide. And one of my favorite aspects of that program is that they talked about the difference between deciding something and choosing something. When we decide something, the word side comes from words like genocide, pesticide, suicide, homicide, which means actually the derivative from the Latin word means to cut off all other choices or to cut off. And so when we begin to change our perspective, when we begin to shift how we think about things, how we speak about things, and then the greater opportunity for growth is how we see things in the world. And when we choose things the way they are, you know, when we choose to pivot rather than react to the pivot, when we respond to the pivot rather than get angry with the pivot, you're choosing the thing the way it is. Even your boss, let's say right now, you are working for Cruella de Vil, and you know, even though you might not have to see Cruella de Vil face-to-face every day, it's still like nails on a chalkboard to you every day. When we shift that attitude from one of, oh, this is not fair, I don't need this, on top of everything else, I have my kids at home here with me, how is this happening to me? And when we shift that mentality from something is happening to you to I choose Cruella de Vil because I choose Cruella de Vil, or I choose COVID because I choose COVID, I choose losing my job this year, whatever it is, the moment that you choose something the way it is, rather than resisting it or wishing it would be different, that's then where you can begin to speak your next year, like Brandon was just saying. That's where you can begin to say, oh, if I could create anything, how would I want 2021 to go? But you need to start with a clean slate, and that ties into accountability. Until you can first be accountable and say, hey, I'm over here doing the best I can, and without blaming anybody else, I am going to actively participate in choosing how my life is going to go in 2021 and for the rest of 2020. What are your thoughts, Brandon?
I love that. I never heard the decide, that to cut off all other options. That is a beautiful, very important point. And you're so right that I think about people's careers and, you know, and getting the right job, and people create so much unnecessary unhappiness and in some ways harm in their careers by deciding something versus setting an intent or setting, you know, something larger than the decision. And I saw this a lot in law, and you might have too, where when, you know, people would try to rise and be a partner in the firm, And he never once asked themselves, are other partners in my firm happy? Are other partners in my firm enjoying their work? And they just were so on the partner track. And it was so fascinating to watch so many people get to that partner level and go, I hate this. I'm miserable, you know? And I always think, well, you could have saved yourself a lot of time. And some people, because of that sacrifice and that decision, will stay. They will stay because they've already sacrificed too much. I mean, my argument is you've never sacrificed so much to keep yourself in true unhappiness. Now, you can sacrifice for your family and for your well-being, and there's financial things. That's different. But sacrificing just because of some preordained decision is a recipe for an unhappy career. And, you know, you and I are half the time, and I think our recruiting days, replacing someone who got pushed out because they were that unhappy, or finding ourselves in our best days, finding someone a dream job because their previous decision was not in alignment with who they are and where they were going. So I love that. I really, truly do. And you see this a lot again in legal. We see this in other careers as well. As far as what I'm noticing as a trend, I don't think I've talked to anyone this year, whether it's personal or professional, that is not an inflection point in their life. And again, whether that's personal or professional, everyone is taking stock. And you talked about, I loved what you talked about that. And can you talk about this again? When you talked about having, let's use the Cruella development, my daughter watches way too much Disney. So I'm watching Mulan like 100 every single day these weeks. So I choose a Hunt. So even if Attila the Hunt is your boss, what can you do if you do think? Because I do think this is a year where we have all had so much, whether it's COVID, whether it's politics, whether it's whatever it is, being stuck at home, everyone's had too much. And that one little thing. So what do you do in those scenarios, do you find in your career, Jill?
So here's what I would say about that, Brandon, is that it's funny. I was just speaking with somebody about this who's an executive role at a major law firm recently in the last week or so. And they said, step one is you have to be clear with yourself. Scale of 1 to 10. 10, you're miserable. Being you're miserable. You don't even want to show up to work. It's painful. It's crushing your soul. I call that the soul crusher. And, you know, you're at level 1. You're happy as can be. Life is magic and fairy dust. And, you know, hopefully most of us are at level 1, maybe not as likely, and never get to a number 10, but it happens. And so I asked this friend of mine, I said, scale of 1 to 10, where are you at right now in your career with what's happening at your firm? And she said, you know, Jen, I'm at about probably a level 6, maybe a 7. I said, great. So what you want to do is something called proactive job hunting versus reactive job hunting. I ask this question to people because if you're at a level like maybe you're at a 4, 5, or 6 level of happiness, 4 is almost more towards the happiness side of things, you really have time. You really have time to orchestrate and to proactively intend and write a wish list and think of everything you want. When you get into that kind of 8, 9, or 10 level, you are in the danger zone. It's really, there is a cost and impact to your health and well-being. And so when you want to really start to observe, if you start working for a Cruella and you notice that week 1 or month 1, that you're at a level 8, 9, or 10 of suffering, I recommend take off the Band-Aid as quickly as possible. People often ask me, should I stay in a crappy job, Jennifer? Should I stay in a job where I hate my boss and I'm miserable going to work every day? It is probably going to be 1 out of every 100 people that I would say to stay in that job, because who knows, you know, there might be some sort of lesson you're meant to learn there, which is going to be a more rare sort of case. But if your heart and soul are hurting and you really are getting messages like you're tripping and falling on your way to the office, the universe is pushing you back and saying, this is not good for you, you're having health issues, then you might want to internally reflect and say, is it in my highest and best good? And if you're at that level 8, 9, or 10, whether it's a week, a month in, a year in, et cetera, do some soul searching, talk to your family, talk to whoever is in your support circle, and make choices that are responsive, not reactive. It doesn't mean that you run out and quit. It means that you strategically, which is what we're going to be talking about and really focused on January, February, March of this coming year, is the A to Z, all the components of everything you need to know to be able to find not just a good job, but a great job that you love. And like anything in life, you know, whether it's an abusive friendship, an abusive boss, an abusive, you know, lover or significant other, do you like yourself? Because obviously, I was just talking to a friend here in Portugal about this at lunch today. If you're in those relationships where people are not honoring you, the question you have to ask yourself first is, do you like you? Do you love you? And the more that you practice that self-love and you learn to care for yourself, the healthier the relationships will be outside of work, because you just won't have the space. You'll start attracting different levels of people. So in the short term, strategically talk to your team or to whoever is in your life who would make that choice with you. Then choose what you want, pick a timeline by when you want to be out of that situation, and take action steps every day. Instead of sitting around and complaining about how crappy life is, choose something different and choose the person for as long as you're working with them until you can safely reroute and exit to something else. Does that help, Brandon?
That helps a ton. And for the audience, it resonates for me, I'm sure, or I know. And it reminds me of some of the advice I give to a lot of my clients, which is, you know, whenever possible, don't walk away from something, walk towards something.
Oh.
Whenever possible. However, to your point, it's not always possible. Sometimes the best thing you can do is walk away from something, because it's only then that you're away from something that you will actually see where you're meant to go. And it's very hard when you're in that toxic, abusive, fill in the blank in those relationships or work or otherwise. It's hard to see where you're meant to go, because you have that distorted vision of yourself. You know, there's a reason that narcissistic, abusive people are good at attracting good people. It's because they're good at going, you're good, I want all of that, but I'm never going to let you feel too good, because then you'll leave me. Or at their worst, then it means you're better than me, which is almost, I don't understand that version of a leader. It's I don't think they are leaders. I think they're just, they're succubuses. They take and they fill themselves up by taking. I don't respect those people on earth. I think that people who get by giving, the servant leaders or what have you, are the ones I respect. You want to hire people who are better than you. If you don't, then why are you even in business? Why do you exist? You're not a leader until you make another leader. So I mention all this to say sometimes it's not enough. But when it is, to your point, do not walk away from something, walk towards something. So vital and important. When in doubt, though, pull the ripcord and let the parachute, the emergency cord, and by all means, walk away. When you get clear, I loved what you talked about, right? I talk about this in the work and a lot of the principles I talk about, which is the power of three. Which is you talk to your friend, a family, and a colleague, and you ask, what's my superpower, or what is my secret sauce, or what's unique? But most importantly to me, how do I help you, right? What do I do for you? Why are you my friend? Why do you like me as a colleague? And they'll all tell you something different, but they'll all tell you at least one thing that's the same. That's your true North Star. And if you're not doing that thing, whatever that thing is, strategic, connector, empowering, inspire, you fill in the blank. You're in the wrong career. You are in the wrong career because you are not sharing, you know, your gift. A really cheesy coaching metaphor. When I first became a coach, I had tons of them. I miss the early days of coaching because all butterflies and rainbows. And now I'm more cynical in that. I went from being a cheerleader for people to being a sparring partner. Like, you know, my world's getting a lot more. And I got to tell you, I'm having a lot more fun being a sparring partner, because I think at the end of the day, I love the work of making people the strongest version of themselves. Mm. They know they're great. Let's get in there and let's do some real work. I think, though, one of the analogies I used to live is not sharing your gifts is like going to a wedding, bringing a gift for the bride and groom, going to the party, and then taking it home and going, actually, I'm going to keep it for myself. You'd be an a-hole. You know, you wouldn't do that. And yet we do that all the time for our family and friends. We have these gifts. We have these things we can do. We keep them. And it's partly because we don't see them as gifts, it's partly because we don't recognize them, for sure. But I encourage everyone, especially if you're new to these people, you know, I think your friend, right, that you mentioned, I guarantee you one of the reasons they became aware is probably people like you sharing what you've seen. And eventually you stop listening to the one voice and you listen to the collective voices. And sadly, so often that one voice becomes the abuser or the bad boss or whatever, and then it becomes your voice. So they become one and the same. And by the way, a good person who's going to take advantage of you knows where you're vulnerable. Someone pointed this out with a boss I had. They know where you're vulnerable and they find those moments. They don't want to see your strengths. They want to find those vulnerable because in pointing out your vulnerabilities, they get to feel like they have the answers and they're stronger. I could not tell you, and I think you're the same, how opposite I am in life. I am, what are your glorious strengths? What is makes you magical? I know where you're weak. You know where you're weak. But if we empower this, we're going to crush this other thing. And if you can approach your career, and you know, and I think lastly, people go into interviews without pivoting, and they'll go into the next interview and point out all unintentionally all their weaknesses without sharing any of their strengths. What do you think you've seen? What have you seen in an interview process when someone makes that decision, that the site that we don't like decision, someone sets that intent. When they set their intent, what's the difference that you notice in how they're showing up in interviews, or what's the difference in the jobs they get?
You know, intention is everything. In fact, one of my favorite things to help job seekers, and I would highly recommend it for any of you out there listening or tuning in at any point during the year, find an accountability buddy and share with them what it is that your intent is so that you can collaborate. Because it's one thing when you have an intent, like I have my intent, but your intent multiplies 10 times, 100 times the more people you share it with. And specifically when you have somebody who's committed to holding you to your intent. So one of my favorite things to do every day is before any single day I start, I make a gratitude list, which is a whole other thing, just to ground my day in gratitude. And then I set my intentions for the day. And, you know, when we're doing an intention, and I'll ask job seekers before they go in, I'll be like, you know, who do you want to be in this interview? If I could just poof, give you magic fairy dust, how would you want that to go? Do you want to be authentic? Do you want to be engaging? We often think about doing things. We think about, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have the right job. But who are you going to be? Who are you being when you go in there and you really resonate with the people you're interviewing with and the team you're meeting with? Who are you being? Maybe you're being authentic. Maybe you're being inspiring or connected. And I invite everybody to, number one, set that intention before any interview you ever go in, before you ever start a new job. Who do you want to be in that job? I do it before any interview, TV, radio, otherwise that I do. And then share that and have accountability buddies, or at least one person. You know, there's actually something really powerful. If any of you out there have a group of, say, 8 friends and you want to get together, there's a woman named Lynn McTaggart who does a lot of brilliant work on the power of 8. And what they found is if you get 8 people together and they're all listening for the common good. So imagine, you know, 1 week you have 2 people share, and these could be job hunting groups or whatever sort of group you want it to be. And you have week 1, 2 people share what they really want. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a soulmate or house or to have $1 million, whatever it is. And it's the other 6 people's job to listen for that and to support that those 2 people all week. And then the next week it's another 2 people, and then so on and so forth. And when we uplift one another, and that's what we all need during this time. Yes, it's easy to sit around and lament how tough things are. But when you pivot that mindset, when you pivot towards the positive and you are tenacious and you put it out there and you put that intentionality behind everything you do, rather than just reacting and deciding things in life, you are literally taking the reins and you're guiding the horses you want to go, rather than just letting those horses go running off a cliff with your life and your future and your job. So choose the people, choose your intentions, actively participate in the life you want to have. And don't blame people. If something doesn't go well, say, huh, how did I actively participate in that showing up in my life? And what is my opportunity for growth? And when we do that, Brandon, then nothing ever happens to us again. Then no matter how crappy a year 2020 might have been for you, no matter what jobs you did or didn't get, nothing is happening to you. You're an active participant in it who has a say in how it's going to go going forward.
Beautiful. And that accountability partnership is just so, so vital. And you make a wonderful point because you use the word choose. And so often the people who are giving us advice in life about career, about the most major decision, I mean, and I say this with love, we didn't choose. They're our parents, they're our siblings, they're our best friends from, I mean, you know, from childhood who know us. But you know what they all have in common? They're desperate to try to protect us. or provide their own lens of which they've seen us. And rarely do they see us as we've become, they've seen us as we were. They certainly know who we are, but they don't see where we're becoming. And I was thinking about this great book by Glenn Doyle, Untamed. And there's this great moment in the book that is really transformative. And again, there's a part of the book that really changed my life, which is she actually says her mother wants to come. She identifies as gay, and her mother wants to come to a softball game, but is worried about what that means for her in the community, that she's now a woman. And she says, that is a you thing. Do not come. I don't want that in my life. When you are ready to accept me and my wife, by all means, come. I love that. I love that choice, right? That seems like a you thing. I'm fine. We're fine. We're going to Little League or whatever they were going to. I love that. That has been 2020 for me. You are clearly, there's something that you're bringing that I just can't have. I can work on my own stuff, but as long as you're bringing that, I can't have you in my life. And it's been, I can't tell you how much oxygen I have because of that. And I think so many people have done that this year. So many people have breathed fresh oxygen by removing maybe people who take too much energy or air. Secondly, there's a part in the book where she's talking to her daughter, and she has this great quote. I'm going to paraphrase, but your mission in life, or our jobs in life, is to disappoint others so we do not disappoint ourselves. And her daughter says, well, what about me? What about you? And she said, especially me, especially our parents. I just said that to someone today. Especially your dad. Like, you have to disappoint him. Our parent, we have to. It's our mission in life to disappoint our parents. If you don't, you'll maybe be safe, but you'll never be fulfilled. You'll never be full. And that goes triple in our careers and our lives. Safety is dangerous. Danger can be safety.
It's all about our perspective, Brandon. I mean, really, truly, I know we're focusing today's episode on pivoting, and it's just like the woman you were just giving an example of. You know, she pivoted her perspective. It would be easy to come from a victim mindset. And I remember years ago, I was inspired and I came up with, like, I think it was an acronym for pivot towards positive. And I believe, if I recall at the time, it was passion, innovation, valor, openness, and tenacity. And if we have those five elements, if we're passionate, if we're innovative, if we're valor, if we have that sense of valor, that courage to do what's necessary, if we're open, and if we're tenacious and not willing to give up, that's how no matter what direction we might pivot, we could do 180, a 360, it doesn't matter. You're always going to be able to pivot towards whatever you need when you have those elements.
Oh my God. You never told me that. I'm nerding out all over that. Are you kidding me? That's amazing. We just chose.
Conversation. I think I even created.
No, that's the best thing about you. I'm like, oh, we should do pivot, and you're like, that's a good idea. By the way, I already have an acronym in the bag. It's already set up, and that's why I love you. That's awesome, dude. That's great. You're doing the three, by the way, when we end, because I'm not going to get that acronym right. So you're on deck. Just so you know, that's fantastic. Valor. What a beautiful word. I love. Especially, I've talked to people about professional brands, and I've switched that over to the idea of professional identity. We could talk about that in another show. And one of the things that geeks me out on someone talking about who they are, how they're showing up in the world, is when I don't hear a word that I've heard other people say or haven't heard it a lot. And valor is a word that I just don't hear a lot. So it's going to be my new earworm. Can you identify that? We always ask this of our guests. I'm asking you, can you just define what valor means to you in a career or otherwise?
Great question, Brandon. I think that, my gosh, I'm kind of moved. Just, I don't know if any of you out there have feel this, but the valor that it took for people to get through this year, to go through, to create movements like Black Lives Matter, and the things that people have gone through to push the limits of what was comfortable. To me, valor, it's almost like Lancelot, like this knight that no matter how daunting the dragon or the army or whatever it is might seem, David and Goliath, that's valor, is just trusting that you have, there's a strength and a courage. For me, it's like the combination of the strength and the courage and the action all married together that gives somebody the capacity to defeat the dragons, the lions, to slay the beast, and to slay the beast within ourselves. I mean, that's really when somebody overcomes something, I heard a beautiful podcast today on Weekly Energy Boost talking about, you know, we all have our own addictions. And I'm not just talking about drug addictions. I'm talking about addictions to attention, addictions to shopping, addictions to, you know, video games or whatever it might be. And when we have the courage to be honest about our shortcomings, our opportunities for growth, I don't even want to call them shortcomings. To me, that's an act of valor, is number one, acknowledging that there is something within you that you have the capacity to work on and transform, and then to take action on that thing, and to know that you might fail. You might try to, you know, storm the castle. You might go out there and you might get rejected. You know, you might get rejected 100 times for your dream job. And are you going to have valor in the face of that? You know, there was a gentleman, an Australian artist, I'll never forget, Brandon, that I was having lunch with one day in Marina Del Rey. And we're sitting there having lunch, and he tells me that he wanted to be the highest paid living painter. And so he showed me, he had a picture on his business card of his first painting he was trying to sell. And he knocked on door after door, and people just ripped him a new a-hole. They said, "Your art is crap. In what world do you think you're going to get paid $1 million for this?" And people were just completely putting him down, saying that his vision was BS and that he had no talent. And that happens to all of us at some level in our life, whether it's our parents or a boss or whomever. And yet he kept being tenacious, and he knocked on every door. And I kid you not, Brandon, he heard 10,000 plus people say, "You're crazy. I would never pay $1 million for your art." Guess what though? One person did, and he is now one of the highest paid living artists in the world because he believed in himself and he knew the value of his art was over $1 million a piece. And he stuck to that and was courageous and tenacious and passionate about it. And because he was willing to do all that, the man is worth tens of millions of dollars.
Oneself is so interesting. You know, you mentioned something interesting there. It was funny, you were given Lancelot, and it's hard for me not to think about Game of Thrones, and that, you know, because I'm a feminist. And so Brynn of Tarth is sort of like, I thought about the Game of Thrones today, like that the fact that men wound up on the throne after everything is sort of the opposite of valor. And so... But my point is this, you listen to my had family members in the military. And so I've studied throughout history what makes great men, you know, the greatest generation, if you will. And what I find so interesting is so many of those men who win the medals and the ribbons and they almost are all to a person say, "I'm an ordinary person who did extraordinary things." Mm-hmm. And I think about that too, because there's valor there too. There's valor in knowing that you're worth $1 million. And there's valor in just saying, "I'm an ordinary person, but the situation called for me to be extraordinary. It called for me to stand up and whatever it was, save, you know, lives or stand." And I think about that, to your point, is there's these moments where we believe intrinsically, maybe those moments can help us believe more in ourselves. And yet I think what we've seen in 2020, you know, whether it's the nurses, you know, Marvel just came off a comic book devoted to the first responders, you know, as the real superheroes, these ordinary people who are actually extraordinary. We just never noticed them. One of my favorite things that just came out that I heard was that, so this happens a lot. So during the space race, that's when STEM became so popular in America, because everyone thought, "Hey, let's put rocket ships up, and that's how we can be patriotic." And then after 9/11, it was the military. It is the highest admission rate in medical schools in history this year. And I think about that part of someone who says, "I want to be a part of this. I see a need and I want to protect." That to me is valor. And yet we do that so often, so little for ourselves. So little for ourselves. And I think there is valor in knowing your worth, value in protecting yourself, and then valor in helping others. So I've said valor like 27 times, so I'm getting it. It's getting tongue-tied. And I haven't talked about Game of Thrones much on the show, but I figured I'd mention it for today's purposes. I just love that idea. In all of us, is someone who's able to do something extraordinary. So why would we spend our entire lives doing the ordinary?
And extraordinary, it means something different to each one of us.
You know, beautiful.
Like you might have a mom or a dad who's listening to the show and they have 5 kids to take care of and they're all at home doing homeschool right now. And the most courageous or most, the thing that would have the most valor for them would be to give themselves time or space like that. That takes true courage. And, you know, to be able to have that sense of valor, whatever it took for you to get through. I think all of us deserve, if we were in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, to get the Valor Badge. I think we all deserve a Valor Badge after this year, given that, you know, we all pushed ourselves to new limits and to new things. And, you know, there is something to be said to go back to the Cruella de Vil example. Sometimes it's in those moments where we question who we are and we question, am I even good enough? No, I suck. Clearly, Cruella de Vil is telling me that I suck. And, you know, it's in those moments, though, where we get knocked down. And then, like the phoenix rising from the ashes, we come back stronger, more courageous, more powerful than we ever have. And yet it's on the opposite side of that great hardship of having to defeat that monster, that whoever it is, the dragon, the Cruella de Vil, that you're able to rise 10 times above and then to realize, you know, sometimes you need to go through something that is the antithesis of your dream job to know what your dream job is.
Yes, I love that. And I look back on those moments, and so many clients and friends I have do too, and look back on those moments, not with a sense of relief or joy, but almost a weird nostalgia of how much you didn't know when you were that unhappy, when you were in that wrong job. And it's the power of the pause. It's the power of the, and that is what 2020 has been. It's been one giant cosmic pause button. Stop, stop, stop. Climate, stop. Racial, you know, racism, stop. Everything, stop. Pause. Is this the way you want to keep going? Society, world. Or can we appreciate what was and pivot to what can be? And, you know, we can all show a little valor in that way, a better way, if you will. Honoring the past would bring into the future. That's one thing I think is really important. As much as we say sealed in amber, I advise people this all the time in their career. If they want to start their career over, they want to go from, they were an HR executive and they want to be in marketing. They were a lawyer and they want to be an actor, whatever it might be. I say, wonderful, do that. But use what you've been through. Don't throw it all away. You know, use it. Take what you've gone through. You've already paid the price. You know, you're not going to go to a fancy restaurant, plunk down $300 a plate and be like, you know what? I'm good. I'm not going to eat that. You know, you've already put the money down. You've already enjoy. Use it. You've already spent the capital. Now, how are you going to use it? I think everyone should be asking themselves as we head in this next year, what's the capital you built in this last year or in your life? And how can you use that to bring it forward? Whether that is we're more connected to our family or our friends, to you've realized that you're in the wrong job, to I realize I love my job. I love it. It's brought me so much joy. And how can I help the company or my bosses or the organization succeed? And I promise you, I'm all about promotions. If you know, one of the ways to do that is for you to get promoted in 2021. If you've helped this company survive in 2020 or even thrive, God help you, then they better be doing the same for you in 2021.
I just got inspired to share a tool, Brandon, that I think could really help people who are tuning in now. Great. So one of the things that came to me one day when I was personally going through a day where I was feeling less than stellar, less than somebody who was embodied. Or courage. And something I did is I was like, you know, what are 100 things that I love about myself? And it was painful. It was really, really, really painful to go through and to write down 100 things. I wrote it in the notes section of my iPhone. You could write it in a journal, on a piece of paper, on your computer. And it's no cheating on this one. This isn't a call a friend. This is just honoring yourself and just saying, what are 100 things I love about myself? Because if you can't come up with 100 things you love about yourself, you're not going to be able to, in the same way, relay your value proposition to that new company. And on the flip side, if you want to do another exercise that's similar to this, write down the things that you might not like about yourself. And I did this exact same exercise. You know, so many of us just went through a breakdown and an expansiveness in this past year. And some days went, and some days were like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to survive this. And so I wrote down the things I didn't love about myself, stuff going back to when I was a teenager, present day. And I wrote down every single one. And then I put my right hand on my heart and I said, Jennifer Hill, I love and accept that you blank. And I said every single one of those out loud. And there was a monumental pivot and shift in how I related to myself as a human being. Could I list 100 things that I love about myself? And could I also list 100 things that I might not want to accept or that I might be judging myself about from prior jobs or things I could have done better? And could I accept those things? And when we do that, imagine walking into 2021 and having a slate like this brand new tabula rasa where you now know that, hey, you love yourself. So whether or not anybody else loves you, whether it's a romantic partner or a new boss, you love yourself. So that's really what matters. And number two, do you accept yourself? If you can love and accept yourself, you can accomplish anything and your valor will increase tremendously.
Boom. I realize in so many ways, and I certainly do this work because for the majority of my life, the calm of what I don't like would have been exponentially larger than anything I could have come up with on the right. And through a lot of work and a lot of, unfortunately for me, talking to other people and taking them at their face value, which only started about 7 years ago. I mean, how much unhappiness I spend in my life by not listening to people saying good things and only the bad. And yet, I think one of the things that I love about that exercise you gave, and I encourage our people to do, is do that exact same exercise for your career. Write down everything you love. And I don't just say your job, your career, you know, but certainly your job too. Do it for everything. But think about where you are right now in your career or in your job, and write down a list and make them two lists. Everything you love about it and everything you don't love about it. Dare I say hate at times, but more importantly, love or don't. Make two lists. See how they stack up. And you know how this goes. It's do they love me? Do they not? If you've got more in column B, probably time for a pivot. If you're lucky enough to have 100 things in column A, I wouldn't change a darn thing. I would find out how to do it more. But wonderful exercise as we end in the year. And it doesn't mean it's not going to be uncomfortable. It doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. Life begins at the end of our comfort zone, as the quote behind me goes. And that's where fulfillment happens. I think in our desire to not be uncomfortable, we fail to grow. And I love this year for one reason. I hate it for many. I probably hate this year more for many reasons. But one thing it did give us is it forced us all to collectively become uncomfortable. And I do hope, I pray that societally and in our jobs and otherwise, we all grow and we all find more fulfillment as a result, because we've already paid that enormous price. We create a world where we don't have to pay that price again in the way we have.
Learn from our lessons. I couldn't agree more, my friend. So beautifully put. And I love the exercise that you just gave. I think it's a wonderful thing. I know we all learn differently. And some people just like to hear things. Some people like to have tactile experiences. So notice what resonates with you. It's like a coat. Try it on. If it works, it's weird. If not, throw it back in the closet and find another tool or item. And that's what we're going to be offering everybody who's tuning in the first quarter of this coming year is lots of tools. So put your pen to the paper, be prepared to join us. We're going to have several wonderful guests, this coming month for the holidays. And then going into 2021, we're going to have, basically 12 weeks of A to Z of job hunting, everything you need to know, resume writing, social media, online networking, everything that you're really putting it on me for.
I really am. Yeah. I thought you were going to toss it back. No, it's yours. You've earned it. Not earned it, but first off, I'm not going to do the VOWR acronym well. So you've earned it on that alone, but no, I really believe, and I know, my friend, that you've pivoted so many times in your life, personally and professionally. And I admire that so sincerely. It's one of the things that everyone who knows and respects you appreciates and values in you. And you help people do that so much, myself included. So take it away, my dear friend and guru.
Thank you so much, Fran. Thank you for everybody who's tuned in here with us today. It's so great to have everybody here with us. And so the takeaways I would say from today's show is to know that within every challenge lies a hidden opportunity that is going to take you one step closer to the pivot that will get you to that dream job, that will get you to the top of the mountain, the your dreams and wishes and fulfillment coming through. And to get there, to get through the challenges, to move to the other side, use the power of the pivot, pivot towards the positive, passion, innovation, valor, openness, and tenacity. And finally, remember that there are things you can do. Look at the things that you love about yourself. Look at the things that maybe you don't love. Look at the things you love about your career and maybe the things that you don't love. And use that as a barometer to choose, not to decide, what you want to do next with your career. I'm Jennifer Cahill. You've been here with my dear friend and co-host, Brandon Maslin, for Get Yourself the Job on LA Talk Radio. Thank you to everybody who tuned in with us live on Facebook, on the LA Talk Radio Facebook page. And, you know, thank you for all the wonderful reviews coming in. We've had so many great new reviews on iTunes. So thank you. Please keep those coming in. We love to hear your feedback and thoughts. You can go to Get Yourself the Job on iTunes and leave us feedback and reviews there. It just takes 5 seconds to give us a rating. So feel free to do that. We would greatly appreciate it. And please continue to tune in here. We have a great month in store for you, filled with insightful and wise guests. And wishing everybody happy holidays, happy Hanukkah to those of you out there who might be celebrating this week. And we're grateful that you chose to join us here today.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.